This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time for the Score Evening Show. Weeknights 6 till 9 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's your host, Rami Makhlouf.
That's me with you for the next 3 hours live from the Hyundai Studios and brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I got Adam Studzinski on the other side of the glass and a jam-packed show he has put together for you and me tonight, including visits from Cassie Carlson, sports anchor and Bears reporter for Fox 32. She'll be here at 7 o'clock to talk some Bears and all the developments out of the latest OTAs, and Evan Altman, founder, editor-in-chief of CubsInsider.com. He'll be here at 8 to talk all the latest about your Chicago Cubs. And when they're not on, plenty of room for you at 312-644-6767. You can give me a call. You can shoot me a text if you want to get in on the show. And the whole first hour open to you at 312-644-6767 as we'll mix in some Bears talk, some Cubs talk. And if you want to get in on that, give me a call or shoot me a text. Speaking of calls and texts, I'm starting my show with this. I forgot my cell phone, and Adam Studzinski, does it say something about me? I've cut way back on the social medias. I've cut way back on the social medias, but still I feel like a part of me is missing without my, like, I'm going to be on the radio for the next 3 hours. I shouldn't even be looking at my phone that much, but I look down and it's not there, and that's a weird feeling, and I think that says something very, very bad about me as a human being right now, does it not?
I'm legitimately shocked you got all the way to the studio without realizing you didn't have it on you.
I know, me too, and it slightly complicates doing the show a little bit because we're in different places. For those of you that don't know, I live in Milwaukee. Sometimes I do the show from our studios up there, so it slightly complicates communication, but really it doesn't affect the show much at all. Like I said, I shouldn't need it at all, but it's just that it's not there, and it feels weird. It feels weird. I think a lot of people would have that sensation. I think that says something about a lot of us, but I shall persevere. I shall press on and do this show. That's right, phoneless, ladies and gentlemen. In 2025, I will do a 3-hour radio show phoneless. But you, if you have a phone, you can get in at 312-644-6767. I want to start off the show asking Cubs fans, has your mindset changed or is it changing as a Cubs fan? 312-644-6767. By that I mean, do you expect good things to happen now? Like, have you seen enough of this season that when they find themselves in tight games or even down big, you're like, okay, they could they could still pull this thing out, or maybe they will pull this thing out. Has the mindset changed? 312-644-6767 if you're a Cubs fan and you want to get in on the show and shoot me a call or a text. Because the last few seasons, I think, did a number on us as Cubs fans and our mentality and our psyche. Because after the World Series, it was not that the run ended right there and we immediately, you know, started being trained to think negatively or wait for the other shoe to drop. They were still good. They were still winning the Central and getting to the NLCS. But I would say from like 2018, 2019 on, after the highs of those highs of winning the World Series in 2016, to watch that team slowly get picked apart, to be trained again to not have expectations in terms of that team winning for a couple of years after they went through another rebuild. And then when it started to get to the point where we were like, okay, can we expect something from this team? It looks like they might be ready to win or make some noise. You know what I mean? And ever since the end of the 2023 season is when the torture really started. And the way that season ended, where it looked like they were headed for the playoffs, and they had that big September collapse, and that eventually resulted in David Ross getting fired and Craig Counsell getting hired, and then they come back next year, and even though they were in the playoff race to the very end and then came up short, it was a really frustrating 2024 in that if there was a close game, I didn't feel great about it for a number of reasons. The bullpen didn't seem to know how to hold a lead if you had one. Didn't seem to know how to keep you in a game. If you were down by one or two runs, it seems like teams were able to blow it open. And from an offensive standpoint, you just couldn't count on that offense producing on any consistent level. Again, they after a rough start, They managed to claw their way back and make things interesting at the end. But even at their best last year, you couldn't count on consistent offensive production from that team. And if it was a close game, whether they were down or they were up, you just didn't see that offense doing what they needed to do. And especially with runners in scoring position, they seemed to just let us down time and time again. And that's why when this season started the way that it did in Tokyo with the two losses against the Dodgers, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but just a whole mess of runners left in scoring position over the course of those two games. And I remember, and I've cited this a few times since, Mully and Haw, that trip down memory lane of the Score with Spiegs at the end of the show really did a number on me.
I haven't had that slip up in a while.
Yeah. I know. By the way, speaking of that, just a quick sidetrack. Should we get Bart Winkler on at the end of the show to talk about getting West Side Mike back on the Score airwaves? Should I try and work that, Adam? Should I see if I can get my buddy on the show and get his impressions of West Side Mike?
Is he on the air tonight?
I think so. It's Friday. Does Bart not do Fridays?
Well, I'm not sure when his week starts. Does his week start?
No, he does Sunday, Fridays normally. Unless he took the night off, Bart should be here. I'll see
well,
if
maybe
I can.
He should be down the hall then, right? Doesn't he works in the same area, doesn't he?
He should be here soon. He should be here soon.
If he wants to hop on, absolutely. Come on down.
Because he reintroduced an absolute Score legend in West Side Mike by taking that call. But I digress and go back to the Cubs. But Mully and Haw, after the conclusion of that series in Tokyo, they said that felt a lot like games 163 and 164 of the 2024 season. Because, again, they left a boatload of players or runners on scoring position in those two games. And you were like, oh, man, are we going to have another one of these frustrating types of seasons where they just can't seem to push across runs and just come up short and you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop in a negative fashion? Well, we are 56 games now, after the loss to the Reds today, 56 games into this season, and 16 comeback wins. 16 comeback wins for this team in 55 games, and that's almost half of their wins. They've won 35 games, and 16 of those have been from the come-from-behind variety, and I was watching that game today, and they went down 6-0. And JD and Boog on Marquee, I was watching the game. They're like, man, this. I know the Cubs have come back in a few games today, but this would be one remarkable comeback right here. And I was like, yeah, I think they could do it. And I don't know when that switch flipped for me, but even down 6-0 to the Reds today through six innings, I was like, yeah, they're not out of this baseball game. And it was just a couple days ago that Craig Counsell was asked about all these close games, because they're 8-4 in one run games. And last year they were 23-28 in those scenarios. Here's what Craig Counsell had to say when he was asked about the stress of all these close games that they've won this year.
I would call it fun. I don't. It hasn't been wearing at all. It's fun. I mean, this is what you want to. You want to be in these situations, and no team goes out there and just sits there and says it's 7-1 in the fifth every day. That's just not how the game works. So you've got to scrape and claw to win every big league game. It's always going to be that way, and nobody expects it to be any easier at any point. But it's the fun of it. It's the fun of doing it every night.
And that's Craig Counsell saying it's fun. All these close games, it's fun to be in those games, because you're going to have to win those types of games if you're going to be one of the teams that's left standing at the end of 162. And you have to have that mindset if you're a player. Like if you're walking on eggshells and you're waiting for the other shoe to drop as a player, then you've already lost half the battle right there. If you've taken that mindset, you've already lost half the battle. But I always say fans don't have to think like the players do. We don't have to delude ourselves or convince ourselves of something that may or may not be true. Athletes have to do that all the time. There's a level of delusional confidence that professional athletes have to take into their job every day just to accomplish the things that they accomplish. We as fans don't necessarily have to take that mindset. And when I heard Craig Counsell say that, I was like, yeah, man, I don't know when it happened, but at some point in the season, close games became fun again for me as a fan. And I had belief and confidence in this baseball team and what they could do in close games again at the end. And that wasn't the way I came into this season. The way I came into this season, and again, the series in Tokyo with the Dodgers only strengthened that perception or that mindset was, Let's see if these guys can do it, and man, have they, because they've scored more runs. Well, coming into today, I don't know if today changed anything, but they're the number one offense in baseball in runs scored. You have two legitimate like superstars and MVP candidates in your lineup with Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong doing what they've done this season. Frustrating day for Kyle Tucker today, including grounding into a double play in the eighth inning there, when the Cubs had a rally going and stopped the damage at just two runs. But man, I was watching that game and thinking, here we go. And they put up two in the eighth, they put up two in the eighth and then put a couple runners on in the ninth inning. And I really thought that team was going to get it done, or at the very least make it interesting. I didn't feel like I should turn my TV off, to quote Kendrick Lamar, after six innings when the Cubs were down 6-0. And I don't know when that happened, but that switch flipped at some point this season.
The Cubs, by the way, unless the Dodgers outscored them 18 runs today, the Cubs will be the run leader going into the weekend, okay, still. Because they coming into today, they had an 18-run lead on the next closest team in total runs this season.
I didn't know the gap was that large. I'm gonna be up front when
they have a substantial lead on most runs scored,
and that's really what's driving this thing. Because if you look at it, the starting pitching has been fine. The bullpen has been a roller coaster. But the thing that gives me that confidence and flip that switch is that offense, and the fact that, as I just said, you have two MVP candidates or guys performing at elite all-star level between Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong. And I'll throw Seiya Suzuki in there as well, man. He's been among the league leaders in RBI pretty much all season long. Like this lineup is a dangerous lineup, and you're in any game that you play, whether you're down six or you're holding on to a 1 or 2 run lead and need some insurance runs, or you're down 1 or 2 runs going into the 8th or 9th inning and you got to scratch across a couple, and they can do it in a number of ways. I was filling in with Layla the other day on the midday show, and we talked about this a little bit. The Cubs coming into today, 10-7 when the wind is blowing in at the beginning of a game, compared with 4-0 when it's blowing out and 3-1 when it's a crosswind. And we all know it was talked about ad nauseum exhaustively about the Cubs' struggles with the wind blowing in as much as it was last year. This lineup can beat you in a number of ways. So it's again, I don't know when the switch flipped, but it's a completely different feeling and different mindset watching the Cubs this year. Even when stuff goes wrong, like you lose Justin Steele and Shota, and somehow, and Colin Ray struggled today, but somehow you get the seasons that you're getting out of Colin Ray and Matthew Boyd. You have injuries and guys just blowing up in your face in the bullpen, and then you have other guys just showing up out of nowhere, like Flexen and Palencia, who's taken that closer's role. And maybe the best example of it is Reese McGuire, who was almost out of the Cubs system a week before getting called up because you lose your starting catcher, who was off to a great start offensively, and Miguel Amaya to an oblique injury for about 6 weeks. Reese McGuire gets called up, and then unexpectedly gets to start that day because Carson Kelly comes down sick and hits two home runs, one of them to tie the game in the 8th inning in one of those 16 comebacks that they've already had this season, as I said before. That's the type of stuff like that when it feels like there's little magic pixie dust sprinkled on your baseball team and stuff like that is happening, and you're getting performances and production and contributions like that from guys you'd never expect, it changes the way you watch your baseball team. And man, is it so much more enjoyable. And not just the winning. Like, the winning is the end result of all this, but it's just a more fun baseball team to watch, and it's a funner mindset to watch baseball with. For me, at least. I don't know if you've seen large enough a sample size that your mindset when it comes to the Chicago Cubs has changed. I'd like to know if you want to hit me up at 312-644-6767. Again, this whole first hour open to you and your calls, your text. We'll also talk some Bears with Cassie Carlson of Fox Chicago. She joins me at 7 o'clock, but want to hear from you right after this, and we'll talk. I'm going to close the chapter. Other than my conversation with Cassie later in the show, we're going to close the chapter on this whole Caleb Williams quote-unquote controversy that's come up in the last couple of weeks. We'll do that right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A money!
monster shot.
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
With your host, Rami Makhlouf, that's me, and I'm with you until 9 o'clock. Cassie Carlson, Fox Chicago sports anchor and Bears reporter, host of the Offseason and Game Day Live. She'll be here at 7 to talk some Bears. Open phone lines to talk some Bears with you at 312-644-6767 right now. I heard what I needed to hear from Caleb Williams. I'm ready to move on, and believe me, I've gotten the message that a lot of you are probably ready to move on as well, because I was in with Layla Rahimi the other day on the midday show, and I don't know if it's just like if it's a very vocal minority or if the majority is that strong, but I was a little taken aback and surprised by the amount of people who were saying, let this go, it's a non-story. Because Layla and I were just saying, we would have liked to hear from Caleb Williams. And the sooner we hear from Caleb Williams, the sooner we hear the questions that we want answered. And we can put this thing to bed and everybody move on. But it seemed like a lot of people were just ready to move on without any questions being asked. And I don't think I'm coming from this as a radio host or media guy standpoint or trying to drum up controversy or come up with content for a show. If I wasn't doing this for a living, I think I'd still have some questions that I'd want answered if I'm a Bears fan about this story that came out about Caleb Williams not wanting to be a Bear and potentially him and his father seemingly taking the lead on it, considering options of how they could force their way out of Chicago or dissuade the Bears from drafting Caleb Williams at number one. Well, he did address the media at OTAs just a couple days ago and started immediately saying some of the things that I would like to hear and answering some of the questions that I'd like to hear answered. Here's a little bit from Caleb Williams.
First, to start off with it is what everybody would love to ask about is this whole storm that happened. It wasn't something that, you know, we wanted to happen at this point. You know, we're focused on the present, we're focused on now, we're focused on you know, trying to get this ship moving in the right direction. And I think so far that's what we've been doing. But for this to come out, it's been a distraction. So coming up here and talking about it and addressing it is important today. And so that's what we're here to do. And then after I came on my visit here, it was a deliberate answer determined answer that I had is that I wanted to come here. And just like Ben spoke about, obviously, you know, the past years, as everybody knows, it's a fact that quarterback play, there hasn't been a 4,000 yard passer. There's, you know, these all these different things that come up. And so, you know, being able to have those thoughts is I think fair to be able to have, you know, good and bad thoughts. But like I said, I came here on a visit. And like I said, just like Ben said, you know, it's a challenge. To be able to come in here and try and turn around, and that was the main goal of all of that, is to, you know, through all of, you know, what was, you know, going on, through all of what happened and you know, last year and previous years, you know, I think that was enticing. I think that was something that was glaring to me, that, you know, I wanted to come here and, you know, be the guy and be a part and be a reason on why you know, Chicago Bears turn this thing around.
I love that. I love everything I just heard from Caleb Williams right there. First of all, not hiding from it or a non-denial denial or some broad, vague statement that we all have to try to read into. He didn't hide from the story at all. He basically admitted that it was true and gave his reasoning for why they were thinking what they were thinking and considering doing what they had considered doing of forcing their way out of Chicago. I love that he just addressed it. He didn't hide from it. He admitted basically that the story was true, but also that, and another thing I wanted to hear is that he eventually embraced the challenge and wanted to be here. And look, that's what he's gonna say. He's not gonna come out now and say, yeah, no, I'd rather I had gotten drafted somewhere else. That's what he's gonna say. And anytime you watch or listen to a press conference, I think you take it with that grain of salt. Is some of the stuff they're saying is just what you want to hear, and you have to kind of weed through it and decide what's true and what's them just saying what you want to hear. But it is important to me, and one of the things that I was surprised by in the reaction to us talking about this and this being a story was people saying, well, he's here now, so it doesn't matter. He's here now, so it doesn't matter. It's not just that he's here now. I want him to want to be here now. Despite the fact that their perception of the Bears, spot on, accurate, factual. This has been where quarterbacks go to die. That he wants to be here despite that, because buy-in matters. Whether you're happy with where you work and who you're working with and who you're working for matters in terms of your performance and reaching your full potential. You need Caleb Williams to want to be here, not just sort of succumbing to the fact that the Bears told him, we're taking you at number one whether you like it or not. And he also said in there that this was a distraction, which was my number one concern when this story came out. Because my first reaction was, yep, they're right. Carl and Caleb Williams are right in their perception of the Chicago Bears. But why? Why do this now? Why sit down with a guy to write a book now and put all this out there? Because it is a distraction, not just for Caleb Williams, but for the Bears. Before Caleb Williams ever had to address it, his head coach and four guys, including two who never played for this team, had to go to a podium and answer questions about this story. That's a distraction. And that's not the media creating a distraction. We didn't tell Seth Wickersham to go sit in Carl Williams' living room and get the lowdown on the lead up to last year's NFL draft. We didn't do that. Carl Williams created the distraction. We'll get to Carl Williams in just a second and what Caleb had to say to him. But it was a distraction. So a few of the things that I wanted to hear answered, A, not hiding from the story, B, saying he wanted to be here and why he wanted to be here and trying to kill that perception of quarterbacks in Chicago, and C, that it was a distraction, admitting that it was a distraction. And I'm not going to lie, that last one is just to validate me a little bit in talking about this and telling y'all that this wasn't something we could just sweep under the rug, that it was a distraction. It was a distraction that the Williams invited into Halas Hall. That's what happened. That's what went down. And again, I don't begrudge Carl or Caleb Williams. It doesn't change how I feel or perceive Caleb Williams as the Bears quarterback at all. But that is what happened. The other thing I wanted to hear about, one of the other things I wanted to hear about, and this is just from a curiosity standpoint, because I don't know about you, but when I read that article, the excerpts from that book, I should say, and Caleb talked about the film study that nobody was telling him how to watch film at the NFL level. That was crazy to me that he wasn't getting that basic a level of coaching. But Caleb, and I thought that's how everybody looked at that story. Caleb was hearing a different reaction to that story. Caleb took it as an insult to him, or that people saw it as an insult to him and that he didn't know how to watch film. But and here he is talking about that.
That was a funny one that came out. It wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film. It was more or less the sense of learning shortcuts in the sense of, or not learning shortcuts, but learning ways to watch film and be more efficient, learning ways to, you know, pick up things better. And so that was a funny one that came out, that, you know, in context and how I was trying to, you know, portray it, didn't get portrayed that way. So, it wasn't that I didn't know how to watch film. It was trying to figure out the best ways and more efficient ways so I can watch more film. I can gather more information so that when I do go out there on game day, that it's, you know, I'm, you know, that information that I gathered through Monday, when we got back, you know, all the way up to, you know, whatever day the game day is. So when I get out there, I can gather it, you know, I see it, I can react. And it's not me sitting there thinking so much about, you know, the rules and these different things. It's more of a reaction game at that point in muscle memory.
Did people go after, again, as I said at the top of the show, I've not totally bailed out on social media, but I've cut back on social media. Was some of the reaction to that story making fun of Caleb Williams, that, oh, you don't know how to watch film? I knew exactly what he meant when he said nobody was showing him how to watch film. Like, yeah, you watch film probably starting in high school. If you're a football player, and especially if you're a quarterback, yeah, you probably start watching film and learning the basics of breaking it down in high school, and then you probably reach another level of that when you get to college. But like anything else, as you proceed and excel, you need to learn to be more proficient and more efficient at doing what you do, and to do it at a higher level and to do it better. I didn't think Caleb was just completely clueless on how to watch film. I'm surprised he felt the need to even defend himself in a way in addressing that story. I read that and I was just like, that's crazy that he wasn't getting that basic level of coaching. That was wild to me.
See, Rami, you had the same reaction I did, which I appreciate, because there's a lot of people, especially around the national talkers, I'll say, that didn't seem to have very good reading comprehension when it came to that particular excerpt of this story. I took it as, oh yeah, he just needed somebody to help him, exactly what you're saying, he needed someone to help him learn the particulars of studying film at this level, and he wasn't right. Getting that help. It's not that he didn't understand that he needed to watch film alone, that he needed to do extra work, that he didn't know that how to turn on film and watch the, you know, be like the basics of it. Of course, like you said, he's probably been doing that since high school, if not longer than that.
Sure.
So the idea that he didn't quote unquote know how to watch film, that people were getting out of this, it was ridiculous to me. It was more of, yeah, he needed some more help to get him to understand the particulars of watching film at this level. And there's only so much you can do if you've never done it before. And
right.
Clearly the people around him, the coaches in particular, weren't giving him what he needed.
And Case Keenum, in case anybody out there is wondering, what does it mean to watch film at an NFL level? His new backup and journeyman backup, who's been in many a system and been part of a lot of success in this league, he talked a little bit about what it is to watch film at that next level.
I say rookies don't know what they don't know. and it's just kind of the way it goes. You know, we come from a similar offense. I think Lincoln took the you know, the air raid or whatever we ran at Houston and made it his own, and obviously you know, kind of a branch off of that and has done tremendously well with it. For me coming out, I didn't know the difference in base and sub defense. I didn't know that you could take a play and then go to the other hash and run that same play backwards. Like, I was like, it blew my mind. We ran everything right-handed in Houston. Not to say that we weren't really good. I mean, one of the most prolific college offenses that's ever been, but that's just the way we ran. We ran it fast. We ran it up tempo, and we were going to just do what we did better than anybody else. And didn't matter what defense is out there. The NFL is a little bit differently in how you can think about personnel groups, huddling, operation, play calling, all of the above, that you just don't know what you don't know sometimes. And it's just a daily process of us adding more tools to your tool belt until you look up and, you know, Caleb's been here 10 years with Ben, and, you know, so many different plays they've run together that they're speaking, don't even have to speak, that they know each other's thinking at times. I can see that happening.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know. And there's always more to learn, especially when you're a rookie and you're just coming into this league. So, I didn't hear much, if any, of it, but anybody who is criticizing Caleb Williams for that aspect of the story, when he complained to his dad about film practice studies with the Bears coaching staff last year, way off base. And just, like Adam said, either a low reading comprehension or just a lack of understanding that there's another level of watching film and doing everything else at the NFL level versus college that a coach kind of needs to walk a rookie through, or at least not assume a rookie knows how to do, and just make sure that they are proficient at it. So I'm surprised Caleb even felt the need to address any criticism of that. But the last thing I wanted to hear about, because as I was reading that story and just wondering why, yes, you're right, everything you're saying about the Bears or thinking about the Bears last year leading up to the draft is true, and you're very warranted in thinking and feeling the way that you do, and I wouldn't have even blamed you if you forced your way out of Chicago, but you didn't. He's a Bear now. He's been a Bear for a year, and as Caleb said in the first clip I played, this is now a distraction. Why? And I wanted to know if this was something that Caleb's dad kind of went and did on his own, or if Caleb knew that this story was coming out, and Caleb talked about his dad going and talking to Seth Wickersham for this book.
Does your dad speak for you?
No. No. I actually shut my dad down quite a bit. He has ideas. He's a smart man. And so I listen, and I always listen. And I'm very fortunate to be in this position in the sense of, you know, playing QB, but also very fortunate to have a very strong-minded father. You know, we talk very often. It's like my mom and my dad are my best friends. And so, you know, being able to, you know, have conversations with them to understand that everything they say also is, you know, portrayed on me. So I think that's the part of it. But other than that, no, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm very fortunate to have a father, you know, that's super strong minded, that's always there, always wants the best for his kid. And I think, you know, any of y'all that has a kid or, you know, anything like that, a niece or nephew that you love so dearly, you know, they try and help and you know, you try and help and put them in positions that you know, it's best position that you can. So that's all he tries to do. But no, definitely a grown man. And, you know, I shut him down quite a lot, just because, you know, in season, out of season, something that you have to do. You know, he cares so much about me and, you know, my future. And we've been along this journey so long together that, you know, all he wants is the best for me. And so if anything happens, he's super, you know, super high headed. And it's more of like, all right, like, go ahead and go away, you know, reset and things like that. So, you know, love him to death and things like that. And like I said, super fortunate to have him. But, you know, we have talks about it, understanding that, you know, it's a right place and a right time. And then, you know, there's times where it's not.
So it sounds like Caleb did not really know his dad was doing this, or at least didn't know the timing of it and that it would come out now and create this distraction. And I'm glad that Caleb didn't know that this was coming out or wasn't necessarily in on it. I heard Ross Tucker on with Mully and Hall last week, and he said they should drop Caleb Williams' awareness rating 30 points on Madden for bringing this to light, because it's silly and pointless to create this distraction at this point. Well, he gets those 30 points back, because This wasn't Caleb Williams doing this. This apparently was Carl Williams doing this. And I don't know about you, I can't stop my parents. Like I and he said he talked to his parents about it, about the timing of it, and that the things that they say and do will reflect on him now that he's in the public eye. But at the end of the day, they're your parents. I can ask my parents to do something that I can't tell my parents to do anything. You know what I mean? And so to me, this isn't in the least bit on Caleb Williams. This apparently was a Carl Williams decision, and I don't, again, I understand where Carl Williams is coming from and was coming from throughout the whole thing. I just don't understand talking to Seth Wickersham now for this book and putting this out there and creating this whirlwind and this distraction. And hopefully it's not something that happens too often in the future. And hopefully things are so good that we're not even talking about things like this in the future. We're just talking about Caleb Williams throwing touchdowns and winning games and the Super Bowl shuffle remix. That's what I'm hoping for. We'll hit a quick break. And like I said, I'm closing the book on that now. I heard everything I want to hear. I'm closing the book on it. I will bring it up with Cassie Carlson from Fox Chicago when she joins me at 7 o'clock, but I'm good. I'm good on the whole Caleb story, ready to close the book and move on. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, is Paul Skeens on the trading block? There's a lot of, I don't want to call it buzz, but people talking about Paul Skeens on the trading block. And what would you give up to get him? We'll discuss right after this. Rami Makhlouf, Score Evening Show, with you till 9 on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Paul Skeens.
He's no Colin Ray.
He's no Colin Ray. This guy has been a ray of light in that rotation.
I love David Haw, but as a part-time stand-up comedian, I take offense to what he did right there on the Mully and Haw show. Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show. If you want to see my comedy, it's Rami Comedy on YouTube. R-A-M-I-E Comedy on YouTube. But they were talking about Paul Skeens there, and I don't think Paul Skeens is on the trading block. I don't think he is, but I keep seeing articles of people throwing out ideas for trading Paul Skeens and what the Pirates could get for their ace and a guy who's honestly on a historic start to his career. Some analytics or metrics might say the best start to a career that a pitcher has ever had. I'm not going to go that far, but he's really good. He's really, really good. And the latest article is from, let me make sure I get this right. It's Jim Bowden at The Athletic. And he's the latest to pitch ideas for trading Paul Skeens. And he says the Pirates don't want to trade him, but then he makes a very excellent case for why the Pirates just might consider trading him. And it's this. He says, under owner Bob Nutting, the Pirates know that they're never going to commit the $350 to $4 million it would take to prevent Skeens from reaching free agency when his contract ends in 2029. He adds Pittsburgh's franchise record signing was an eight-year, $106.75 million contract to outfielder Brian Reynolds in 2023. The club's record free agent signing was a three-year, $39 million deal to Francisco Liriano in 2015. That's so sad, dude. That is so sad that that's their biggest free agent signing ever. And quite frankly, Bob Nutting, sell the Pirates. Like, if you know that if your prospects pan out, you won't be able to pay them at the end of their contract. Like, that's just a company policy that if the people that you draft perform at a high level, well, they will one day not be Pirates after if not sooner than these 6 years of team control. You should just sell the team. You don't have or aren't willing to use the funds and resources that it takes to run a Major League Baseball team. So Bob Nutting, sell the Pirates first and foremost. That's my first point in having this discussion. But then I digress and look back at what is going on and the reality of it, and that Bob Nutting is that cheap and they will never keep Paul Skeens beyond 2029. And Jim Bowden makes the case that although the Pirates have the option of trading Skeens at any point between now and the 2029 deadline, they also know that waiting comes with the risk of future shoulder or elbow injuries. His trade value will never be higher than it is right now, at least in theory. And he adds, the problem is for the Pirates, well, one of their problems is that they don't have a lot of valuable trade chips at the major or minor league level. They don't have a stream of top prospects waiting in the wings to help the big league club anytime soon. And they've established they don't want to spend significant money in free agency. So he's saying They're not going to keep Paul Skeens at the end of 2029, and they don't seem to have a path to contending with Paul Skeens between now and then, and his value will never be higher. So if they're thinking straight, they should have him on the trading block. And the first team that he throws out there in terms of packages that could net you a Paul Skeens is your Chicago Cubs. And on Monday, I was doing the midday show, and in transition, I talked with, Steve Rosenbloom and Mike Esposito, and they threw out the idea of Skeens for Pete Crow Armstrong. And no, that my reaction to that was no. You have a guy playing at an MVP level, at a premium position, every game. Instead of, I'll take that over an ace who's gonna pitch for you once every 5 days. As good as Paul Skeens is, no, I'm not trading PCA for Paul Skeens. But this package that Bowden throws out there of Cade Horton, Matt Shaw, Kevin Alcantara, and Juan Thomas, a 17-year-old shortstop that they have in their system, that I would do. I would do that in a heartbeat. And that's a steep price, man. That's your top two prospects who are up at the major league level now who've gotten the call-up this year. And Alcantara is probably the top prospect. I was looking at Keith Law's list today of the top 50 prospects in baseball. And Alcantara is the highest that the Cubs have left after the call-ups of Cade Horton and Matt Shaw. I think he was 37th on Keith Law's list. So that's a steep price. And Juan Thomas, again, 17 years old. You don't know, but he's a guy who has a lot of promise and teams would covet in a trade four prospects. That I'll do today. That I would do today. As steep as that price is, I think Paul Skeens, a more valuable player to you in a win-now window, which I think the Cubs are for at least the next two or three years, including this season, he helps you more in that window than I think those three guys do. And Juan Thomas probably doesn't see the majors in the next 3 years as a 17-year-old. I think Skeens helps you win games and gets you closer to winning a World Series in the next two or three years than Horton, Shaw, and Alcantara are going to do. So I make that trade in a heartbeat. And if the Pirates are taking calls on Paul Skeens, I hope Jed Hoyer is picking up the phone and seeing what it is exactly that they would like in return. I do want to talk with Cassie Carlson of Fox Chicago coming up in a few minutes. Do I have time to take a call or two before the break, Adam, or should I get to the break? All right, I got to get to the break. If you're there, hang on. I will get back to the calls right after I talk some Bears with Cassie Carlson of Fox Chicago. She'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this on The Score Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.